Praise God. Well, we're going to continue with our teaching we had started last week called What Did Jesus Say About the End Times? And I talked about there was a book that was put out by Mel Piper. He was wrote the book. He was pastoring. He had actually went to Canada. He was up in Canada, and he was pastoring a church up there. He's since gone home to be with the Lord, but I did have the opportunity to sit down with him and talk with him about some things that God has shown me, and I saw that he had some really wonderful insight to some things, and especially in these areas concerning what Jesus said. When people understand the things about the end times, when you understand the truth, number one, fear leaves. The truth always brings freedom, and fear goes, and that's one thing as it is, because the end times, it's amazing at me from the time that I got born again, I started to see people would be so fearful when it came about the end times. And I can understand the standpoint of, because when the truth is not taught, and that doesn't mean not everybody knows. There's people out here who do understand it. There are some good teachers out here in these areas on here. In fact, Charles Stanley had a lot of good teaching about the end times. He did a lot of good. He had a lot of good teaching in those areas. He had a lot of sound teaching and that stuff. In fact, I think he did better than a lot of the Spirit-filled guys did. Because number one is, when we're dealing with the Word, especially dealing with contextual teaching, in other words, teaching in line with the context of the Word, when you deal with the end times, you really need to do that. Because just pulling a scripture here or pulling a scripture there, lots of that people say, I've watched people write books on a couple scriptures, and the Bible don't even say that much about those couple scriptures, but they'll write books on it, like the end times. There's books written on certain things in the end times. I'm going to tell you what, the only thing they're good for is burning. I mean, because it's just people's ideas. There's too much of people's opinions. And I've learned this over the years. The books that were popular when I first came to Christ, 99% of them have been proven wrong already. They were written about the end times, and what they said was going to happen, well, that all blew up, because most of it was their ideas. And there's one thing that I have learned from people over the years, studying and looking after people of wisdom over the years, people who have walked a long time before me, some have gone, is one thing is there's a lot of things when it comes down to prophecy. You're not going to know about exactly what's going to happen till the time arrives that it happens. And you will know. You will be able to see many things. It's just like the coming of the Messiah. There's many things from the scriptures that once the Messiah came, you could clearly see the fulfillment of the scripture, but you couldn't see it till he came. Then you could look and say, man, this was right in line with it. This was right in line. But it wasn't obvious at first. And that's the way prophecy has always been in that manner. There's some things that are clear that we look ahead, wow, we can see, but there's some things that they're not. And I've learned one thing is being very clear about our opinions, when people say, well, this is talking about nuclear warfare. I'm sorry, Jesus don't need atomic bombs to destroy people. He doesn't, when people start saying this stuff, you need to be very careful. There's a lot of things that have been said were going to happen certain ways, and times came and they went, and it didn't happen that way. But any new thing that comes along, somebody say, oh, that's going to be what's going to be. That's what. No, just wait till the event comes. We'll all find out. Yeah. 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 Yeah, and we're looking at things as God is showing all these kinds of things. As number one, we don't have to sit around, try to add to it, throw our ideas at it and that kind of stuff, with people trying to tell how, the Battle of Armageddon, how it's all going to do. I just go with what the Bible says, believe what the Bible says about it. When it comes down to the details of it, of what really causes certain things to happen, the Bible says about, Jesus, he's going to do it with the sword of his mouth, is number one. So he didn't say he's going to have to get Israel to have some atomic bombs so he can make it happen, and he has to have this guy to make this, or this is going to have to. It doesn't say that. And so, as long as we just look at the scripture, when you start making speculations about it, is number one, the Holy Spirit cannot bear witness with our ideas. He bears witness with the truth. And so, if we stay with that. Now, tonight we're going to go over, we're going to end up going into to Matthew, the 24th chapter. We're going to begin to read, to look things that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And we're going to look at these things. Now, building up to that, so we know where the 24th chapter is coming from. Up until this time, we have what is going forth before Jesus starts talking to his disciples about the end. what has taken place, this is during the time of the triumphant entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. This is the week before this happened. And so we're sort of setting up what the scripture shows us, the time intervals of when this is taking place. Jesus' triumphant entrance, he's coming into Jerusalem. This is the second time Jesus had come in. When he finally did, when he came in, this is when they took the foal of a donkey and that stuff he said on it. They brought him in. We'll read the prophecy of what he had said. He spoke before he got into Jerusalem. But this is his second time he has come in and cleansed the temple. This is the second time it took place. So during this event is when he came into the temple, he ran the money changers out and the ones who were selling doves and all this stuff, he ran them out of the temple. He also, it says, that people came to him and were healed. So he had a healing service there and things. And so what happened? Now this isn't in the 24th. We're going to read from the 24th chapter. Now, when he comes into Jerusalem, he's coming in this. This is in this time period. He comes into Jerusalem, and disciples, you know, were excited about, you know, what with the temple. But before that happened, Jesus did this. This is when the event took place. That Jesus, after he left the temple, he went and headed back out toward Bethany, and that's when he spoke to the tree. He had spoken to the tree that day, and he had come in. So he goes back out the next morning. The disciples coming back out, they see the tree, and that's where Jesus, we have where Mark 11, 23 and 24 said, but that also took place at that time period. So he comes back into Jerusalem again. His disciples, also he was confronted by the Pharisees and that stuff. There was the opposition they had against him, and he spoke some parables to them. But he warned the people on the way in about the incoming doom concerning what was going to happen with the temple and the people of Israel. He warned them about that. And so they had the Pharisees and that stuff had sent some people to try to trap him into some things and didn't work out for them. But what he does, he warns the people and tells them, this is one of the things he tells them, is to listen, to do what the Pharisees teach. In other words, the things that they taught from the law were true. He said, just don't do what they do. In other words, they taught the law, but they didn't follow it themselves. So he said, don't do what they do, but do what they say. You know, there's many preachers that I've watched. Well, there's preachers, I consider her name, and I mean some big name preachers. I know that's personally involved with them. And I can tell you things, what they teach, they don't practice. They don't live in their lives. I'll tell you what, the average Christian I know lives a better life than some of those people do. And though they teach all this stuff, make big bucks at it, and people follow after, but I'll tell you what this, you learn you don't do what they do. Now they tell you things that are true, but they don't live it. It's not what they live. They live a separate life. And it's the same way here with the Pharisees. What they were telling from the Word, I mean, always listen to what the Word, you know. I've learned the Word, things from people that have been actually wonderful revelation, but they themselves don't live by the revelation at all. But I'm going to tell you what they said was true, and it's good, and if you take it and put it to practice, it'll work for you. But that's not what they do. So it's one thing as I learned over there, is you don't follow people, you follow the Word. Follow the Word. See, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, Christ is the Word. So you follow the Word, you're good. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to the 24th chapter. These things went on before that. But the disciples had seen, and Jesus had spoke to them. They had seen, they said, told him, look at the temple. Isn't this awesome? You know, this temple's great. Now understand, the temple was quite a thing. The temple that was made here by Herod was quite a building. But here's one thing is wanted to know about this. You know, ministry's not buildings. It's not all this other stuff. You can have all the nice trappings. You can have all the nice things. And they were really moved by what they saw. Boy, isn't this temple really nice? And we know that when Jesus had come in, he had pronounced judgment against them, against Jerusalem, and its people. But also, he said to the disciples, he said, you know, guys, there's not going to be one stone laid upon another that's going to be here. This piece is going to be all completely torn down. Now, you know, that was, you know, you might want to blow it. Most of those guys are walking around talking about how great this thing is. Look at this. And, you know, it's like Jesus just, you know, stuck a pin in their balloon. because like, what? This is all going to be gone. Now, understand this. So they're thinking. Now, you've got to understand what's going on. It's just like many things today. People get ideas about things. See, these guys, they believe Jesus is the Messiah. And the whole thing is they believe this. They believe that this guy is going to take over the government and end up running the Romans out. And this is going to be a big, beautiful thing we're going to have here. And this guy turns around and tells them, the whole place is going to be destroyed. Man, I want to tell you what, that had to put a pin in a balloon. Let me tell you, to tell them that, you know, it's just like back, you know, when years ago, back in the 80s, when I heard them, a lot of them preaching, and some of them are starting to bring it out again, now the kingdom now people. In other words, the church is going to take over everything, and when Jesus comes back, we're going to turn the kingdom over to him. It's like, oh, yeah. Well, back in the 80s, they were teaching that. The big name ministers were teaching that, and some people are picking that up again today. And they were teaching that. So, I mean, major, big name ministers were teaching things like that. I used to think, God, I read the Bible, I don't see that. I don't see it. It's like, what's the point of Jesus coming back and setting up the millennium for if we're going to take over? I mean, I thought, hold it. This doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense. It's unscriptural. But, you know, people, if they fall into those kind of beliefs, and then what happens is you end up into seeing the mess that's going on today. Boy, you know, see, I understand why a bunch of Christians have fallen away over time. Because they found out things being preached weren't true. And you know, there's one thing that's sad is why it's so important we tell the truth. Because it really hugely affects people. I remember, like, you know, when PTL went under and stuff, things that happened there going on. I saw, when I was just a young Christian, and I saw there's things happening. I'd tell people, you know, this stuff isn't right that's going on here. And I have people say, oh, well, you know, God's doing this. Oh, yeah, well, you know, God. But you know, a lot of people got hurt over that. A lot of people, you know, got away from God. Well, you know, this stuff isn't true. See, you get people don't know any better, and they don't know the things, and they get hurt in those things. And that's why it's doing the truth and following what's right so important. Because, you know, you don't want to get misled. We need to be very careful because there's so much deceiving about things. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, things can have good things in them, but, you know, it's like anything. If it has the bad things going on in it, those bad things taint the good things too. And we need to understand that. Nobody's perfect. But there's things that are just downright definitely wrong. I remember PTL, I was thinking, you know, I remember they were just doing a thing, taking people's money. Everybody that would give, I forget, it was like $1,000. You, for the rest of your life, was going to get a free week's vacation in one of those hotels. And I said, well, you can't do that. You can't build enough rooms to do that. You get 10,000 people, turn around, put them in. You got 10,000 people you got to give a vacation to. Hold it with no pay. And you're going to have to maintain that thing? I said, that's an impossibility. It wasn't impossible. It was a scam is what it was. And they had a lot more than 10,000. They had more and more people gave money. And the people gave money, the whole thing, I'm going to get something for almost nothing. You know, I'm going to get... And people were starting to do that. So people got involved in all that. And a lot of people got hurt about that stuff. And it's a shame. And that's why, you know, it's dealing with, you know, scams and stuff. We don't want to have those things going on. So in coming the end times, now Jesus is, in Matthew 24, that things that I've said before was leading up to this. Like last week we went and looked, is one of the things we wanted to see, and I was bringing out last week, dealing, where we were looking at the tares and the wheat, is the ideas we need that the Bible talks about more than one place and dealing with more than one group of people dealing with somebody leaving. Not just the church, we're going to have the wicked are going to leave the earth too. In fact, we find, you know, when Jesus Christ returns, the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to get cast alive in the lake of fire. And then you're going to have all the rest of his followers and their group, they're all going to be removed from the face of the earth. So you're going to see that. There's going to be a removal. And so we find in Matthew 24, Jesus is going to talk to the disciples. His disciples come and ask him something. And Matthew 24, verse 1, says, Jesus begins to tell his disciples about the future of the temple, and he's going to answer the questions about their future. Now remember this as we go to read it. Jesus is operating here as an Old Testament prophet. That's what he's doing. That's his ministry. In the earth, Jesus didn't do anything when he was in the earth as a man, he didn't do anything that he did as God. He did it as a prophet of the Old Testament. He was sent to the house of Israel. He is dealing with them. God was dealing with Israel. And really, if we look at this, when the Messiah first came, what did he do? His main ministry was to deal with the house of Israel. And when Israel rejected him, then he went to the Gentiles. Now, we know this, the time of the Gentiles, the Bible will tell, that'll be fulfilled. And what is the end of the age ends with this. Jesus dealing with Israel again. Specifically. So, he's going to deal with them again. Now, he's talking to the disciples, and so as we look at this, he's an anointed to minister, is what he is as a prophet. And he starts off in verse 1 and says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up and showed him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." And we look at it, you know, and like I said, that may very sound very cold to them. But now remember this in Luke, we want to read from Luke 19, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, what he said. You know, it must have been so sad from Jesus' standpoint, his ministry. Here's the Messiah. He's coming to his people. And he's rejected by them. You know, it's just, now there is a percentage of them that followed after him. Thank God for the Jews who followed Jesus. You know, they really our future counted on that. Thank God, hallelujah, for the ones who did. Now, in Luke 19 and verse 41 says this, he says, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in your day, the things that will make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close in on every side, and level you and your children within to the ground, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" This is really important thing. I talked about Sunday, because Sunday we use another area of scripture talking about visitation, the importance concerning visitation. People need to understand the visitations of God. Right now, America is in a bad place because there's a visitation of God, and the nation and much of the church is asleep. And there's a visitation. They don't know it. Just like in their time. Now think about this. If you would have went to Israel in that day, the religious leaders would have told you they were looking, and they could have even told you. That. I mean, just think about it. When they call the wise men or the magi showed up, they asked, "Where's the Messiah going to be born?" "Oh, right down here." They knew. These guys knew. They weren't, this stuff wasn't hidden from their eyes, but they had their ideas about it, and they didn't realize they're looking for the Messiah to come, and he's standing in their midst. They're looking for, there's people today looking for a move of God, and it's here. And they're looking for it, because people have their idea, what they think it's going to be, and they don't know. God's talking to people. God is moving. God's drawing people. I mean, if you think of the things, I'm just going to tell you this. This morning, I was just in that bathroom, minding my own business, brushing my teeth and shaving. And the Lord spoke to me. I really found this interesting, because I found over the last month or so, God has been speaking to me about a whole bunch of different things. He's just been, certain things, the Word, he's been showing me and stuff. But this morning, I stand there and he said, "There's judgment coming." And this is the words he said. He said, "They're going to cry out to me and I'm not going to answer them." That's what he said. "They're going to cry out to me. I'm not going to answer." People don't realize. See, there's a visitation. And people have turned from it. You know, when the Lord spoke to Randall Greer, the prophet. Now, Randall Greer is a prophet. And said to Randall Greer, he said, about Donald Trump being president. When Donald Trump was first put in as president, he said to this. And I was at the meeting where he said it. God spoke and said that Donald Trump was put into president. He was a reprieve to our nation and the church. He was a reprieve. And that really just stuck with me about that, him being a reprieve. And so when we came around to the next election, and when the election you know, didn't go away with all these prophets and everybody was saying. And during that time period, God, I asked the Lord numbers of times. I could never get it in me that Trump was going to win the election. And all these people were saying all this stuff. And I said, I prayed, I talked to God. I don't get what these people are saying. He's not saying that to me. I said, he's not saying anything. And I said, when God don't say anything, I said, it's best not to say anything to.
So you didn't think Trump was going to win?
No. I didn't think he was going to win. I didn't get he was going to. I just didn't get it. And so I kept asking God again. But after the election was over and that stuff, I said to the Lord, I was speaking to the Lord, and I was just minding my own business. I was talking to him, and I was praying about the election, and what's going on, God? What's happening? Because there's such confusion in the church world. There's all these prophets. What's going on? And the Lord spoke to me and said, really? I mean, just completely clear. He said, I told you he was a reprieve. He said, go look what a reprieve is. Well, a reprieve is this. Somebody is convicted or found guilty of something, and a reprieve just holds the judgment off for a period of time. But it don't stop it. It just holds it off for a period of time. And I said, Lord, Donald Trump was a reprieve. What were you trying to do? He said, I was giving the church an opportunity to turn, and it didn't. See, generally the church didn't turn. They kept on their same path. They put him in, but generally not all Christians. There's Christians who are following God, but the majority of the church is not. The majority of the church is following its own ideas and its own things and its own stuff. That's what happened back with the election. People getting so upset and mad about everything, instead of seeking God, they're trying through the natural. You know, they think political parties are going to win the nation or turn the nation. No, they're not. We're trying to put the natural first. And God done. We want God after things don't work out. Then we just really want to get after God. Then we were supposed to be after God before we were after elections. We're supposed to be seeking God. And people didn't. There was a reprieve, a holding off. God, you know, we read the prophecy of Kenneth Hagin, where the Lord, prophecy, but from that vision, it said the only thing that's going to save America is a repentance and turning around. Well, did that happen during the Trump thing? No. See, God turned around and held things off of judgment. And now, I'm going to tell you what. We're on a fast course to judgment. But you know what? See, we're dealing in America. We look in America here, and this is one thing, is people coming in, oh, we got to stop this law from happening. We got to do this. No, we got to seek God. That's what we got to do. You know, all these news organizations, Newsmax is not going to change America. You know, not all these people and their ideas. What changes is when man turns to God. And that's what we need to understand. That's what this is about. You know, this morning the Lord said, I thought, oh my God, you know, here we go. You know, because the whole thing, I'm not afraid. I'm not going to afraid or worried about that. I'm not afraid. You know, we're to know what's going on. God isn't operating in this earth. He's not trying to scare the Christian from the standpoint, the people that are walking with him and follow him. But we're dealing with a lot of people, and we're dealing with a lot of things. He didn't tell me exactly what the thing of judgment was going to be, and I didn't know if I wanted to ask or not. You know, sometimes if I ask, talk to God, he'll tell me something. But some things, you know, I don't know about you. Some things I'd rather not know. I just like, you know, it's like, oh my. But, you know, there's things on the horizon concerning of our nation, that our nation has set itself in trouble. And what the nation needs is some people spiritual to stand up. The church is the ones who can stand up. We're, you know, as on Sunday, talking about we're the priests of God. We're the one that gets in the face of God. The world can't change this thing. The world can't change it. They can change it. They can change by calling on the name of the Lord, but it is the church is the one who stands before God. We're the one that Jesus said, you can go ask the Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. We're the ones that make the difference to change. And this is where it's really important this time. It's about dealing with these end times thing. See, in Israel, that's what happened. The people of the covenant were heading in the wrong direction. The people in the covenant are heading in the wrong direction. The Messiah's there. They have their ideas about what ministry is and what they're doing. The Messiah comes along. When it comes along, they have themselves a political... I see it today. There's a lot of things of ministries and stuff and things that the ministry of... It's a political organization more than it is a church organization. It's an organization. And it runs, and these people have their big things set up and their big ministries, and they control a lot of things. And you know what? They don't want to give it up for the move of God. Just like the scribes and Pharisees. They had big things. The scribes, Pharisees, the Sadducees, they held governmental power. They had all kinds of things going on that worked for them. And see, this is one of the things that we have to do is realize, is what does God want to do? If God wants something changed, then we need to be willing to change it. And so really it comes down to people humbling themselves and saying, hey, you know, do we want to move a God? Can God do what He wants to do? You know, it's like the Lord spoke to me back, you know, over a year ago and said to me concerning and preaching. He said, will you allow me to get behind the pulpit and say what I want to say? Will you allow me to do that? Well, we have to allow that. Today, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of ministry that will not allow God to stand up and say what He wants to say. They're not going to do it. Why? Because they know what they need to say to keep their ministry big. And I want to tell you what, you start dealing with it. I have a series of Kenneth Hagin teaches on healing. And I'm going to tell you what, that the average minister, if they went and played it and had that thing played in their church and listened to these big name ministries, half their people would leave, the Brother Hagin taught. Half of them would leave the church. They wouldn't stay. Because people don't want to hear the truth. These ministers don't want to preach. They don't want to preach because people are not going to like it. They're not going to like what they hear. It's not going to make everybody feel great. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this with his own voice. Tell ministers. He said, most of your people ain't going to get healed. Then he went on to tell why. People don't want to hear these things. People don't want to hear these. See, he said, you know, when we go to crusades, he said, we talk one side of healing because he said, what you're trying to do is get as many people healed as you can. But he said, you can only talk on one side. He said, but in your church, you got to teach both sides. Why people are sick, what going wrong, and the things, the problems. And he said, they don't do that. They don't teach people the problems with it. They don't tell people about it. They don't tell people why they ain't getting healed, why they won't, things that they have to do to get healed. We don't want to talk about it. They don't want to teach that because people don't like to hear that. You know, I've listened to many ministers say this over the years. I remember when I started to minister here, they'd say, you know, you get up and you start teaching certain things and that stuff. You teach these certain subjects. They said, we'll guarantee you. Now, as a young minister, they'd say, now you get up and start teaching these certain subjects, you're always going to have people leave. People that ain't going to want to stay once they hear that. Ministers learned this. What to say to keep people there and to bring people in. But there's some things you don't preach because people will leave. There's people that, there's certain things that if you say certain things, I'm not staying here. Why? Because there's churches out here that you can go and tell you you're all right when you're not. They'll tell you you're okay when you ain't okay. It's one thing is I like about seeking God. God never lies to me. When I eat right, He lets me know. Oh, I've got my toes stepped on more than yours. So that's part of growing up, though. I mean, it's not God. I have never felt that God corrects me because He don't like me. It's He wants me to go further. You know, if you want to grow, and part of growing is just you realize. There's things that you don't know. There's things you have part of the information of, but you don't have it all. And then you all run into things. One thing, as I got older, I found out I was not as bright as I thought I was, which was a good thing to find out. And as I've gotten older and older yet, I found out this. I'm still in the learning thing, and I'm still not as bright as I thought I was about things. Because you're always learning. Nobody's arrived. Nobody's got there where they're brilliant. Hallelujah. So, we're in a visitation of God, and Jesus is dealing with that. You know, if you were to ask people, you know, isn't it strange though? I mean, you look at Jesus' ministry, you see all the things that happened going on. But now understand this, the majority of Jesus' ministry didn't take place down in Judea. It took place in other areas around there because down in Judea is where all the big guns were. That's where all the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the other CCs and whoever else they were. They were all down there. And he didn't spend much time down there. Why? Because they wanted to kill him. That's what they wanted to do. So, but all this big ministry is going on in Jesus' ministry. All these people are getting healed, delivered and stuff. But it's not going on down Jerusalem. It's not down there and down in Judea where majority of it's going on. Down there, they don't want his ministry. They don't want that ministry down there. So, you don't want that ministry. Now, we know these people weren't ignorant about him being sent from God because we have Nicodemus even admitted it. Nicodemus was in the Sanhedrin. He was one of the ruling council of Israel. And he said, we know you're a teacher sent from God because nobody can do the things unless God's with them. So they knew. They knew he was sent from God, but they were afraid if he got in charge, they couldn't be. So, but the whole thing of it is, they didn't realize this. He did not come to get in charge. That's not what he came for. That was not why Jesus came. His first advent had nothing about being in charge. Hallelujah. He was going to deliver mankind. And so, and Israel had the first shot at it. Do you ever think about this? People talk about the will of God. There's number one, most of the Bible is not the will of God. It's what happened, God's will in operation when men do what they do. Because God, you know, if Israel nationally would have accepted the Messiah, they could have won in the millennium. The reason a lot of this stuff all takes place is because of man's decision. You look down through man's plan, God's plan for man. All that takes place, the whole through the Bible history, is all takes place, not because God planned it that way, because man made his decisions, and God turned around and had to do different things to bring things into pass because of the decisions men had made. He had to do what he said because of man. If they would have turned around and said, man, this is Messiah, glory to God, we're following the Messiah, we would have been millennium time, dear Lord. It is set in motion a move of God that would have blown the top off the earth. But they didn't. They rejected the Messiah. Now God knew it. God knew that they would reject the Messiah. So he wasn't surprised with it. God has a plan. And he always does have a plan. God's not thrown off by what man does. God is always going to bring his plan to pass one way or the other, no matter what man does. He has to wiggle around man and get things passed. But I tell you, this is number one. God will always have a remnant of people who will follow him. Always. All through scriptures, there was always a remnant. Always. There was always a remnant who followed him. And it's the same today. No matter how things get, there'll always be a remnant. Glory to God. Well, we look down here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, back there again, we're going to look. We have this now, in 24 and verse 3 says, now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, said the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? That's a question. When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, he asked two questions here. When will these things be, which was dealing with, he said about the temple being completely destroyed and the city there. Now, and he asked another question. Now, this next question, this is important because these two questions are really separated. I don't know if they understood when they said it. This is one thing that I've learned over time with God, over the years. I used to get, when I first started off as a Christian, I used to get confused sometimes. Because I would ask God questions, and sometimes God would reveal things to me, and I would find out later what he was revealing to me really wasn't what I really wanted to know, but what I found out was not his problem, it was mine. It was the way I asked the question. I found out I asked the question wrong. He answered me according to what I asked. Now he's going to, because here's where the disciples remember this. They're looking for the kingdom. They're looking for the kingdom. They say to him here, they want to know what the signs of your coming in of the end of the age. Now understand this. They know nothing about the church age. They know nothing about that's coming. They don't know a thing about it. They don't know that Jesus never talked to them about the church age. They know nothing about this thing. and they say the end of the age. See, all they see is the end of the age. This is just Israel. This is just, that's what they see. But remember, these guys didn't even know that a Gentile would be able to get saved. Yet the scriptures specifically say that the Gentiles are going to come. There's going to be a new covenant and the Gentiles are going to come into it. But somehow, they're sort of like people today. You just sort of skip certain scriptures because you have certain beliefs. So you just, well, they did. They must have had some of that too. So, but anyhow, they had asked these two, but they're two important questions, and Jesus is going to answer them, and he is going to answer them about the signs of his coming and the end of the age, when his next coming will be. And I was often wondered that they really understood what they asked here when they first asked. Now, but we need to know this, first of all, who's Jesus talking to? He's talking here to Jews that are living under the law. These are Jews living under the law. That's who he's talking to. Understand, the Gentiles, they don't know yet what's going on. They don't know what's happening yet. He says, when is this temple going to be destroyed here? And what will be the signs of your coming in the end of the age? So asking about his coming to set up his kingdom. This is not about coming for the church. This is about his coming to establish his kingdom in the earth. That's what he's looking at. The church doesn't exist, and they don't know anything about it. Now, if we look at verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. He said, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." Now, I want you to see this. This is an important thing. If you will find and follow through on scripture dealing with deception, God always deals with it from this way, is the fact is, it is your job to make sure you don't get deceived. It is not God's job. It's yours. He told them to make sure they don't get deceived. You make sure. This is about our responsibility to not be deceived. So this is what, especially today, this is what every believer needs to know. See, there's people who follow people. They're not following God, they're following a person. There's many people that you ask them something, and when they want to speak to you, they don't ever tell you what the Bible says. They tell you what their favorite preacher said. Well, so-and-so said this, or so-and-so said, hold it. What's the Bible say? Well, they don't know what the Bible said. Their favorite preacher said, you know what? That person has the door open for deception. Because if that preacher gets deceived, they're going to swallow right along and swallow it. That's why Brother Hagin used to say to us all the time, no matter what I say to you, you read the word for yourself to see if it says it. Why? You won't get deceived. People who get deceived are because they are lazy. They are lazy. They will not look for themselves. They want somebody else to take care of things. Tell me, I don't have to do this stuff. I don't have to. You just come along. I just sit here and do nothing, and I'll just sit back and everything will be all right. No, it won't be. It won't be all right. The door gets open for deception. And so we want to make sure. So it's our responsibility to make sure that we're not deceived. So understand this. These disciples weren't born again, and Jesus told them that they were responsible. They're responsible to not be deceived. They are. And they weren't born again. How much more would it be for us as we're born again and have the Holy Ghost in us? They weren't. And he told them it's their responsibility, because he said, even in their day, if we take from their day, people come along claiming to be the Messiah. I'll tell you what, since the time that I got born again till today, more people have arisen up over the years around the world, different places, claiming to be the Messiah. We had a guy right here in the United States. He came in, I think, from South America someplace. He had a million followers back in the 90s. He had a million followers here in the United States. Said he was the Messiah. He said he was Jesus. And he had over a million followers. People going after. There's people who, born again Christians, fell for it. I mean, it's obvious from Scripture he couldn't be, but people don't follow Scriptures. This looks good. It looks wonderful, you know. And they're deception. They're not going to turn around and say, hey, you know what, God, you know, I'm not responsible. No, you were responsible. You decided you wanted to be, you're not going to follow the Bible. You're going to follow deception. That's what you decided. So, yeah. And so we make sure. So deception can come in different ways, but Jesus warns. This is dealing especially, there will be people who will come, you know, and this is one of the things we need to know is the fact, it's hard for us to realize, and we don't. If we went back, one of the things we did talk about with looking at when we looked at Kenneth Hagin, his vision that Jesus gave him, and then turned around and went to scriptures. The deception of the age is the fact, one of the things that was talked about is the fact of, we talked about Satan's ministers. We don't like this or not, but there are people out here who are deliberately deceiving. They are deliberately doing it. Their intentions is to deceive Christians. That's their intent. They're not deceived themselves. They know what spirit they're following. We don't like to think like that. You know, well, we as Christians, you don't want to run around thinking bad of everybody, but there are people out here who are deceivers. They are deceivers, and they know what they're doing. They're operating under the spirit of Antichrist, and they are moving in a direction. They're operating under that spirit. You know, Obama was a guy who operated under that spirit. He operated under... There's no way that a guy like him could have came to power if he wouldn't have had that spirit on him, because the guy never did nothing in his life. He never did anything. But people were enamored by that spirit that was dominated and ruled him. And it was just one of those things that people do. But people get deceived. So sometimes people are deceived because of their ignorance. They're ignorant of the truth. People can be deceived in that way. But either way, people need to learn to guard themselves against deception. You know, if I'm ignorant and don't know very much, well, then I've got to educate myself. I'm going to have to take the time to do that. Especially out here today, there is so much. There's people all the time, people coming along claiming to be the Messiah. And that's not going to get to be less and less and less. That's going to take a Christ. You know, it is an amazing thing. I mean... if we sit down and read the book of Revelation, the people are going to follow off after the Antichrist. I mean, we're going to have right now, we see moving right now in the earth. I mean, we're seeing used to be called Christian religions, and they're moving together now. And they're moving. And it's just like when this Pope, I've told you guys before, I didn't even know who he was or what he was, paying no attention when the other Pope resigned. This guy came into power. And people were doing a lot of talking about things, about this guy being somebody great. I was minding my own business one day, just praying along, minding my own business, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me just as clear and said, this man is going to be responsible, he said, for helping to usher in the Antichrist to power. He said, he will be. Well, I've watched this. This man has been such a deceiver and a liar the whole time along. But things that every once in a while he blows a little bit and leaves himself open where some of his junk comes out. But he goes along and plays these certain things. He wants to find a way. He said, you know, he believes homosexuality is wrong, but we need to find a way within the church to bring them so they can have a union. Well, hold it. If it's wrong, what are you talking about? You see, he's always trying to be nice. You know what? He got loads of people who have been born again, who follow along. Yes, well, you know, we got to love them. So it means if I love them, then I got to help them do what they do.
It's leaning towards one world.
Yeah, and it is. It's the horror of the book of Revelation is what it is, which is going to be really incredible, because they will be part of the people that will be put to death by the Antichrist when he takes power. Yeah, he's going to be killing them. It's amazing. But anyhow... the whole thing. This is why we want to understand. This kind of thing is moving along. We have this spirit of this age is moving. But in verse 6 of 24 says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet. So the wars and rumors of wars, don't let those things disturb you. They're just part. They have happened back then. We see them now. There's an increase in we see different things happen. I mean, the world's full of unrest. It's all over the place. But, I mean, if you think about it, the world's always went through periods of great unrest and that kind of stuff. I mean, if you take around the Second World War, if you look at the First and Second World War, how many people died? I mean, just in Russia alone in the Second World War, 24 million people died in Russia alone. 24 million. We had, you know, you take the wars and plus the rest of Europe and you look at all the, I mean, it's phenomenal. The death and stuff went along. today, probably from a world perspective, I don't know how they'd keep track of all the unrest at different places in the world go on and keep a track of how many die, but I guarantee there's a lot of people dying out here today. But those things will go on. So we found out that those things go on. Jesus said that's, in other words, we're in it. That's humanity. If we would go back and look at Noah's day, you know, Noah, you know, tells us that everybody, their whole intent was to do evil. They were all doing evil in that time when it rose up to that time. We're seeing that moving toward that today, the evil that's going on. So we're moving, so the end of the age is coming, and this end of this age is the second coming of Christ, is what we're dealing with here. So this is dealing with looking at Christ's return when he comes back. Now, this prophecy here really has an idea, has a dual meaning, because it really comes up. There's two things of dealing with, is dealing with, there's the end of the age when we talk about the end of the age for Christ's return. Really, the church is running toward the end of its age or its time here. We're running toward the end of that. So we're running, we as Christian. Now, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in that vision, he told him, he said, before things get to the worst, the church is going to be taken. So there's bad things. We've already seen all kind of things. I never thought in America I would see what I saw. You know, I can take you back to in the late 1990s when the Lord had a vision and the Lord showed me America. And I saw America almost like looking at a map. And I saw like North America, but I could see United States and I could see its states. And in it, I saw these different states. It was really interesting. The first state I saw with great darkness was Colorado. And you know, Colorado has led so much. People don't realize this. Colorado has led so much from the liberal standpoint. Colorado was moving into the liberal, a lot of liberal things before a lot of the other states were. People didn't know about it. It wasn't as big as the population of states. The news media didn't follow after them. But you know, they became the number one marijuana bunch, the all kind of things. They became the number ones of all these different things. They just jumped in. Can you imagine, you have, like, Iowa was the first state to sanction homosexual marriage? Iowa. Iowa was the first state. Iowa was the first state to sanction. See, a lot of people don't realize. But I saw these places, and I saw states become places, and there was almost like you look at like a black cloud over them, and a black cloud over different states and stuff. And the Lord said to me, there's going to be a great divide in America. There's going to be places of great darkness and places of great light. And then he said to me, he said, there's people who will move, who want to go to the light, will move from places of darkness to go to the areas where there's light. And there's people who live in the areas of light who don't like light, and they'll move to the areas of darkness. He said, there's going to be a great divide in America. Well, in 1990, I wasn't seeing that clear, because, you know, what was going on then in America, what's going on now are two different things. And, man, when I started seeing these things we have today coming along and are happening, and I'm like, wow, it's a lot darker than I thought it was. Well, you know, I saw those things, but I didn't think it was going to be like this. And then the Lord dealing with the prophecy, I started reading. He said, before things get to the worst. And I said, Lord, I never thought it was going to get this bad, much less get to its worst. And I know this. The church hasn't seen the worst of what we're going to see take place in the earth.
The church, now you're saying?
Yeah, the church is going to see worse than what's going on right now.
How much worse?
The church will see from the standpoint, because we see things... It's dealing with the age, but we need to know there's two tracks running. This is why the Christians, you want to walk with God, because there's two tracks running. The places of light will become greater light, and the places of darkness will become greater darkness. So, here's one thing that we have today. Most of the focus that the people that don't like darkness, most of the focus they are, they focus on the darkness all the time. They're always looking at what's going on over here bad. Well, always what's going on. Get your eyes on the light. Get your eyes on the light. Get your eyes. Our success as believers is keeping your eyes on the light. Keep your eyes on the light. What the wicked are doing, they're doing all through history. Look at the history of the Bible. You know, God can well save his people. I mean, if we look at Noah, I mean, Noah was a guy of righteousness, and God was able to save the righteous. He was able to. God was able to get Lot out of Sodom. God was able. It doesn't matter. What we need to do is focus and stay with the light. We stay with the light, and that's what we need to do. Today, there's too much. This is what happened. You know, go back to 2020. The church was a mess because all they do was focus on what was bad was going on. So all they did was focus on it instead of getting focused over on the light. One of the things, 2020 was a great year for me. I'll tell you what, I had some great times with the Lord because I took the time to stop. I'm after God. I know this. You don't get after God, you don't change things. This is why so much mess took place in 2020. The church couldn't change anything because all they did was followed and yelled after the world. You're the problem. You're the problem. You're the problem. See, no, you weren't. The church was the problem. If they'd have got a mirror, they'd have seen it. See, this is one thing. That wasn't what we were supposed to do. We weren't supposed to run around and criticize everything and run everything down that was going on. We were supposed to call on God. We were supposed to be the ones to turn the nation. But instead of turning the nation, we became the critics of the nation. And then when the election fell apart, we wondered why. You can't sit and run everything down and pray for it and get your prayers answered. If you're praying for God to change something, you've got to walk by faith like He's doing it, like He's hearing you. You can't walk along and criticize everything you say you're praying for. And people got to stop doing that. You know? You know what? Whether we want to or not, we got to love Schumer. Whether we like it or not, we got to love Pelosi. Whether we like it or not, we have to walk in forgiveness. And if we don't, just forget a prayer life and quit asking God to do anything because your prayers ain't going to get answered. We got to walk in love. We got to look at these people. This is why. If we look at all that they do wrong, you're going to hate them. And you're just going to hate. That's why I can't watch it. I can't keep listening to that. I got to stay looking at the light. Or what happens? I become just like the darkness is. You got to keep looking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just keep looking at the light. God's going to take care of the church. He'll take care of His people. He's going to have to do that. Hallelujah. Darkness ain't going to overtake the light. The only way darkness can overtake the light is if the people of the light yield to the darkness. That's the only way. That's the only way it can happen. And I tell you what, no matter what anybody else is doing out here messing up, my heart is to see people turn. I don't care what they're doing and acting. I'm going to stay with God for other people's sake. We got to learn to do that. Just for the other people's sake. Walk with God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to love them. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. You know, I just can't imagine. Nations will be riding against nation. This one, verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 24 says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning, it says, of sorrows here. This actual word here comes from the idea, though, of birth pangs. Really, that word sorrows is the word that comes, the Greek word that comes from birth pangs. In other words, these things here, it didn't say that these things are the end of the birth pangs. It said this is the beginning. It was really interesting. Back in the 80s, just doing some studying on some things, and I went because of earthquakes and things, but I had read a thing at that time from 1960 to, I think it was like 1980 or 85, somewhere in that vicinity. I was doing some studying on earthquakes in the earth and found out that there were more earthquakes from like 1960 to like 1980 or early 80s. There was more earthquakes in that time period than what were registered the whole time before in the earth. And when I say registered more, I mean it's like 100 times more in that time period. You know, today, like with tremors in the earth and that stuff, we have so many tremors. The earth is really shaking. We don't feel a lot of it, but the earth is shaking and quaking. See, it's one thing God told Israel. The one thing that's happening with sin, you've heard me teach on this before. But God told Israel that when they were in the land, if you're in the land, if you don't live right, the land will vomit you out. You see, this earth is alive to God. This planet is. This rock we live on. This thing is alive to God. In Romans, the 8th chapter talks about the earth. The earth here is trembling, it's quaking, waiting for the redemption of sons of men. The earth itself is in rebellion against the sin on it. God said if Israel don't live right, the land vomits you out. The earth is trying to vomit the people out. This is what's going on. The earth is. The earth is trying to vomit the people out. That's why the earth is shaking and it's quaking and it's all this stuff going on. Actually, when we had the over in Indonesia, that their huge earthquake that they had over there called the big tsunami, and those people died, actually shifted the earth's axis. I mean, minutely. But it shifted it. See, it's one thing is they don't tell us today. They're talking about today what we're dealing with out here with the weather systems and change, and they're blaming all this stuff. People don't realize you can't change the Earth's axis, even a hair, without changing. All kinds of things will happen on the Earth.
Right.
Do you know right now, like what we call magnetic north? Magnetic north, you can go study it and read it, go online. You can say magnetic north is changing faster than it ever did. It used to change, you know, sometimes slight bit, a couple of feet, you know, in 10 years and stuff. Now it's moving. It's moving so much that aircraft, our navigation systems have to keep correcting themselves. They had back here, what was it, about 5 or 6 years ago, within a very short period of time, the navigation systems got off so far, airplanes were hundreds of miles off course, flying from one place to another. See, people don't realize all this stuff that's going on out here because, see, the politicians and the people are so interested in the fighting of all this stuff over these, you know, watching Fox News and Newsmax and CNN and stuff, listening to all this trash, and don't even know what's happening around them. Right now, the Earth's magnetic pole is shifted over and it's heading towards Siberia. They actually believe, which they said could happen. Scientists used to have a theory that the poles could actually shift, and they're right now concerned. Wow, that could be that could happen. We could have a flip. They're talking about, because right now, I mean, it has shifted a long way. The magnetic north pole's heading over towards Siberia. Things are very off. All kind of wild things are going on. People don't know about that. And, you know, people can sit around and say, well, you know, if we quit driving our cars, we'll stop that. The only thing that can stop it is man quits sinning like crazy. That's the only thing. Sin is what's driving the problems of the earth. As long as man sin, he can't stop destruction. You can't stop it. As long as man sins, as long as man thinks that sin's all right. See, that's why we got today all this teaching on grace that, you know, well, you know, you just go sin, grace just covers everything. See, that's what the devil wants people to just keep sinning. Just keep sinning. Just keep sinning. The land will vomit you out. He knows. He knows. Destruction. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God has a plan. Understand this. God's not nervous. He isn't saying, oh my God, what's going to happen? Hallelujah. God knows what to do for His people. But these things are the beginning of sorrows that He said, with these wars and all this stuff and earthquakes. These are the beginnings. Now, the birth pangs keep increasing. Now, we're seeing now this things of birth pangs are increasing toward this thing. Now, listen, understand this. This whole thing is pushing toward judgment. That's what this is. It's going to be the wrath of God on the wicked. This is all pushing toward that, the wrath of God on the wicked. This is pushing toward judgment. This is really important things that people need to understand what this is about. The birth pangs is just like when the Lord, you know, said to me, judgment, there's a judgment coming. And He said, they're going to call out to me. They're going to cry out to me, but I'm not going to answer. See, people, you know, isn't it funny? We had this plague in our land, this virus. And you know what? We're sitting around and still fighting. They can't get things stopped. Things just a mess. Still is. Why? People of God need somebody that's going to stand up and say, hey, hold on, let's do what's right about this stuff. Let's bring things to a stop. Let's get God in the forefront, and let's quit chasing after people, fighting with people about things and that stuff. Get ourselves in line with God. And that's the number one thing people have to do. But these birth pains are going to increase. And then He says on here that Matthew 24:9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So, you know, understand this. He's not speaking to the church on this. This is not the church. We're looking at this thing coming where they talked about the end of the age. When he talks when all nations are going to hate you. See, in the earth, boy, when we talk about the tribulation, as we go on, we'll get a little more clarity about this as if from a scriptural standpoint. But when we look down the road to that, most people can't imagine what that is going to be like. See, like we're living in a time here and we talk about judgment things. There's a difference in types of judgment. God gives judgment to turn people around. That's one kind of judgment. There's another kind of judgment that comes, and it's called wrath. That is not to turn anybody around. It's to destroy them. It is specifically to destroy them. There's one thing that he makes mention here. The believer of that day, a believer of that time before Jesus comes in his second coming, those people there, we're going to find it. It tells us in the book of Revelation, they're going to be beheaded and that stuff. If you're a believer, people are going to be put to death by the droves because they won't follow the Antichrist. You don't take the mark of the beast. You can't buy nor sell. There's going to be persecution. He tells you that all the nations are going to be behind that. He didn't say United States is going to be following God during the tribulation. That's right. But when he tells us, so this is not speaking the church. The church doesn't exist at that time. So the disciples don't know what it is, but he's talking to them. Now, if we could look in the same in the periods, we would look from a disciple standpoint that really patterns follow along the same way all the time. The disciples, what happened? The persecution came really against Israel because the rejection of the Messiah, judgment fell on the nation. We have the judgment also with those people. The Jews persecuted the church when the church age started. If you look at all the apostles, John was the only apostle that turned around and wasn't put to death. All the rest of them died. Were put to death for preaching Christ. But they were all ended up dying. Loads of Christians were put to death. We have it today in the earthwise. Today they say there's, I've read some articles where there's more Christians probably dying, being killed today than at any time in history, worldwide, being put to death for their faith. I mean, we're the strangest nations in the world. We back nations and give them money and everything else and do all kinds of support them and everything else, and they kill Christians. It's amazing. Pakistan, we go in Pakistan. They persecute Christians and kill them, and we turn around and give them money and help them with arms and all kinds of stuff. Because we're afraid if we don't help them out, they might want to start a war. I mean, it's the most crazy stuff. So, you know what? There's one thing. No nation can survive helping or being involved in the killing of Christians. It can't make it. It ain't going to make it. No nation will make it. And we're definitely running along that path right now. America is helps persecution of Christianity. It's amazing what it's done. People don't realize what's going on. So this persecution is the same persecution that's spoken of in the book of Revelation for the martyred saints during the Great Tribulation. So remember, because they asked Jesus about his second coming, so which is dealing with the millennial reign, which is going to lead into the millennial reign of Christ. And so when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a quick judgment that's going to fall, the removal of all the wicked off the earth, and then leading to the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years in the earth. And then, you know, during that time period, Satan's put in chains under the earth. He's off the face of the earth. He's not tempting people anymore. But as soon as he's put back on the earth, he gets a bunch of them to turn around and they're going to attack Israel. But it's going to come out. They're going to do it again. I mean, it's just people say, people learn from history. They don't learn a thing. History will repeat itself. The Bible is proof of history's will repeat itself. The cycles of judgment always run identically the same. Through the Bible. They're always the same. Cycles of judgment are always the same throughout the Bible. If you follow them, you go back starting in the beginning, Noah's flood, the cycle. Things just run in, so it just goes right down the line. I mean, it's just, people are always doing stuff. is if we think about this, I mean, if we look at the disciples, we read this before we had talked about the disciples. In Acts 1:6, the disciples, remember, Jesus is going to be leaving. They're again up on Mount of Olives. They're up there, and Jesus had his little discourse he had to them. At verse 6, these guys, Jesus is going to be leaving. And this is in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Acts. They say, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to do this yet? Come on. We want this to happen. So, but understand, so they didn't eat. Now, hey, these guys, the church didn't start on the day of Pentecost. The church didn't start on Pentecost. Jesus had breathed on the disciples and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. They had received the Holy Spirit already in the new birth. They'd already been born again. These guys are born again. Now, he told them, get down and wait till you get power from on high. That's the Holy Spirit on you. See, the new birth is the Holy Spirit in you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost on you. Now, these guys, they have the Holy Spirit in them. They're born of God. And you know what? They still don't understand about the church. They still don't understand what it is. They're still looking for the kingdom to get started. So they didn't know what was going on. And so don't knock them, though. We would have probably been in the same boat as they are at that time. If we'd have been, just think of all the years that they were taught and trained what they were taught and trained. And so think about all they had to unlearn. Just like us. You get religion, and you got to unlearn it. Learn the truth. So they did the same thing. So they didn't understand. They were looking for the millennial reign of Christ at that time to start. They were planning on it starting then. And we're going to stop there. We're going to pick up. We'll start next week and go on in here when we'll begin to look through these things further and also look at other scriptures and things that fit into these time periods. But we need to understand that these guys were looking toward, this is what's coming down the road. So we're living in a time period. Don't get worried about the things that you see going on around you. You know, there's one thing is you can't live in fear and walk in faith at the same time.
That's right.
It would never work. It'll never work. You look at the things around you, there are things foretold to us that things will happen. Don't get over and say, well, you know, then we just let things go. No, we want to pray and stand before God. So number one, there's people in the earth, and we want people to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's our desire. If we just sit back and let things go, I've had Christians come and say to me, well, you know, everything's going to go under at the end. It doesn't. You know, I've had Christians tell me, it don't do any good to praying about the end time here. It doesn't do any good to pray about this thing. I'm going to show you from Scripture that the Jews in the days when the Antichrist comes over, they're told, but Jesus himself told them that if they can pray and control when the Antichrist comes into power. He told them to pray that it don't happen on the Sabbath. Now, if they don't have the power to change that, then Jesus lied. Why tell him to pray for something that ain't going to work? He says, pray so it don't happen on the Sabbath. Why? Because if it happens on the Sabbath, the Jews won't leave town. Because religion is more important than saving your hide. And he told them, pray that it don't take place on the Sabbath. You think that wouldn't work? Jesus wouldn't have told him if it would. So in other words, see, there's many things that the Scripture says, and the only reason it says it the way that it does is because people are going to do nothing about it. People don't realize the authority that they have in the earth. It's just like the church. The church today has no idea the power that they have in the earth. They're not using it. Letting things go. They think Washington has power. Who's the president's got power? You know, people ain't got a clue. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and he says, you go. The church, his body, he says, you guys go get them, Tiger. And what do we say? Nah, Washington, they're the big boys. The church isn't using its power. It isn't standing in its place. We've let a lot of stuff go. Now, we can do one of two things. Go, oh, poor old us. We were stupid. We were dumb. And, you know, shame ourselves into a corner. We can decide we're going to strap up and we're going to do something about this. We're going to take a hold of something. I just think it would be good to stand up and let's take a hold of something. What do you think? I think it would be the thing to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray in closing. Father, we just want to thank you. Lord God, I want to thank you for your word. Lord God, you hide nothing from your people. Lord God, you want us to understand and know, Lord God, especially in these days and times, there are people who they need answers. And Lord God, they need answers to truth from the Word, Lord God, that we can take them and show them, Lord, especially you, Jesus, the things that you've shown us, Lord God, that we can take the people and show them about these times and days. And Lord God, salvation is in no other name but in that name of Jesus. And Lord God, we have the wonderful opportunity as carriers of that name, hallelujah, Lord God, to lead people in the truth. And we just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for revealing these things. And Father, I want to thank you for anointing us to be able to minister these things to others in the name of Jesus. Lord God, Lord, we want the Word that we can open it, Lord God, and show people, Lord God, that we don't have to send them to somebody else. The Lord God, that we can tell them. Hallelujah. And Lord God, the truth, as it made us free, will bring freedom to them also in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we know this, Lord, that we are coming down to the end of the age. We know things are getting down to the point of the church leaving. And Lord God, those short years, and then the return of Jesus Christ to the earth to start the millennial reign. But Lord God, Lord, we want a lot more people in heaven. Our desire is to see a lot more. Hallelujah. When they leave this earth, Lord God, as the Bible says, that in heaven they'll be of every tongue and every kindred and every nation, Lord God. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you will have a people, Lord God, in heaven. And so we thank you, Father. And so thank you, Lord God, for anointing us. Thank you for giving us wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord God, for working in us so that Jesus Christ is magnified, Jesus Christ is glorified and lifted up. Lord God, that men are drawn to that name. We thank you for it. Amen.